Truly, I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight, to be back in the States after 4 years over in Zambia. We've had a great opportunity to be part of the ministries God has allowed us to be part of there. And tonight, I'd really like to take the time to really just say thank you for your support, for your prayers, for your friendship, for the letters that we've received in each of these things. We truly appreciate Trinity being our home church. We're glad to be back here to see many faces that were reminders, many new faces, to see how your children have changed. I know ours have, to see all of these good things that the Lord has blessed with. If you would, turn in your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 4. I have many missionaries that are probably my favorite missionaries. I know probably each of you do. Who is your favorite missionary? And I have to actually admit that Paul really isn't my favorite biblical missionary. Actually, I'd have to give that honor to Jonah. And so we'll talk about him in a little bit. But would just really like to look at Paul's example of what he gives us as missionaries. This is the biblical example of missions, of what he has shown us that we should do as missionaries. Philippians chapter 4, I'll start in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I should speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This passage, as I look through it, contains my life verse in Philippians 4:13 there. As I started looking through this and going back through, I've gone through this passage many times in my life. But each time I come back and to probably a subject that we really don't hear a lot about too much in pulpits anymore, but of God's providence. God's providence. Providence. What is providence? We sometimes hear this term, but what is God's providence, that word providence? So I looked it up in the dictionary and was intrigued by the Latin words that make up this word. The word pro, the Latin word pro, meaning before. And actually the word video, which means to see. So providence here, really the literal meaning is to see before. As we use this with God, we know that God knows all things. That God knows things in past, he knows things in the future. He knows them before they happen. But I really look at it through this passage, I don't think it's just about God knowing what's going to happen down the road. He does know that, and we're grateful for him for knowing these things. But really, I see in the sense of the word providence, as we apply it to God, the sense that really he knows what is coming, and he prepares the way for that. It is the work of God in advance to arrange circumstances and situations for the fulfilling of his purposes. Truly, as we have gone out and are now returning to report, doing God's work, we believe, over there in Zambia, it's through God's providence that we are able to do that. You say, well, how does this apply to us here today? Well, God uses people to design his way at times. That's where a church, supporting churches, praying for missionaries comes into play, as God uses your hearts, your prayers, to prepare the way for others to go. It's encouraging to us when we get emails or get a letter, get a card, sometimes a phone call from our churches. It's such an encouragement to us, but to know that you're praying for us is probably the greatest encouragement that you can give any missionary that I know. The fact that you pray for our minister, pray for us personally, pray for our health, but especially praying for the ministries that God has allowed us to be part of. As we went over, and later on we'll be able to share a little bit more details about what the Lord has allowed us to do, if you've been keeping up with our prayer letters, you'll know that we went over to Zambia with an idea of what we would be doing, what we'd be working on, what we would be helping with. But the Lord, really soon after we got there, kind of started changing our plans a little bit. And we had to fall into His plans. And through providence, God led us through not only to the college for the radio station there at Central Africa Baptist College, but also allowed me to start helping with some of the financial responsibilities there, being the school accountant, really, to help with their IT needs and to be working not only in the office and that, but also teaching in the classroom. As I look back at God's preparing us for the ministry, seeing His providence, see His hand working in our lives, guiding us in the different situations to prepare us for what He would have down the road, we're so thankful about the opportunities that we had to be part of the college, to eventually be part of the Bible study in Ndola, starting of Trinity Baptist Church there in Ndola with our teammates, the Beemans. But I had to go back and look and see how God had used different examples in my life in His Word to prepare me. I mentioned earlier one of my favorite missionaries, as I call him, is Jonah. That really started pinpointing in my view, looking at the life of Jonah as I prepared to teach Old Testament survey at the college. And we're going through and trying to keep up with the schedule to get through the whole Old Testament in a semester. But as I started looking at the life of Jonah, here's a man, as we all know the story of Jonah, that God sent. But so much like any of us, that we have that kind of hesitation. We're the Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Or, I'm not all that comfortable with what you're leading me into. And our tendency is, like Jonah, to run the other way. And I had to look at my own life. Do I have that tendency? Do I have that desire to turn from what I know what you want me to do, to turn and go my own way and to run? And the Lord had to use Jonah's example, and not only in my life, I know many others as well, that have had that tendency that, no, we didn't get on an airplane and come back to America or run the other direction, but as the Lord would lead us into a situation, but, Lord, I'm not quite ready for this yet, or whatever the circumstance would be, just kind of a hesitancy. But really, in our hearts, kind of, I want to go the other way. I want to go hide. I want to go do something else. But as the Lord works in our lives, thankfully not as drastically as He did with Jonah, but pushes us in the right direction, keeps us heading in that pathway. I look at Jonah, and we often kind of criticize Jonah. Yes, he went reluctantly even still. I mean, he really had a dislike for the people of Nineveh. He didn't want to go there. Even as he went, he kind of went grumbling. But I look at Jonah, and what I'm blessed by Jonah is it really wasn't a matter of his ministry. It wasn't because of his great desire to win the people and to befriend them and to help them and to go. He went kind of hesitantly. What I see in Jonah, it's God's word that changed the hearts of the people. As I look at one of our responsibilities in going, no matter here or overseas, as we present God's word, even as we witness, it's God's word that truly changes the hearts of men. It's not about me. It's not about how good of a speaker I am or what kind of a presentation I can put together to present the gospel or all of these other things that concern me, it's really about giving the true word of God. I look at Jonah, and as we looked at his life, and as we studied that as a class, looking through the commentaries, to look at a city of Nineveh, some of the commentators think it's about 600,000 people that lived in that city. Well, that's about roughly the size of Kitwe, the city that we lived in. And to see how God used this one man who went very hesitantly and sent him into the city, he gained audience with the king, and he turned that city around. Really not him, but the Lord using him. But it was the words of God that truly changed the hearts of the people. Sure, he still had issues even after his ministry was complete. God had used him, had changed this great city. But still he had some issues. But God has used him to challenge me in my own life of it's really not about me. And it's not about my family. It's not about us. It's about delivering God's word and letting the Holy Spirit of God work in the hearts of men. Part of that process is including you. As we look at our New Testament example, Paul, here in Philippians, he's thanking the Philippian people. They had opportunity to send concern for him, to care for him. Sometimes not as adequately as they had hoped, but over and over again, we see him thank. More than one time, we see. Sometimes they lacked opportunity there in verse 10. But as I look at this, I have to look at the life of Paul and see how that, you know, it really wasn't about him. I see that same consistency with Jonah. It wasn't about him. It isn't about Paul. It's about Jesus Christ. And as Paul goes in to a ministry, he rejoices in the care of those saints that sent him on the way, that prayed for him, that gave their concern, who sent helpers along. And as he speaks back to them, verse 11, not that he's in want. Why? Because he's learned how to both live with plenty and with little. He's learned how to get along when there's abundance going on and when there's hardships going on. How is he able to do that? Well, verse 13, he can do anything through Christ, which strengthens him. It's not in his own power. It's not in the power of those people behind praying for him. It's not in any of our powers. It's in the power of our glorious God. He communicated with them. They communicated with him. Even when he was having afflictions, they encouraged him. Even in Thessalonica, they sent once and again to his. But he desires a gift. No, that's not what it says. It says, not that I desire a gift, but he desires the fruit. What is the fruit? Those he's able to win to the Lord. Is he trying to build up his own name and, you know, he's the great apostle and the great missionary I've gone through? I'm Paul. You know, I've been everywhere. I've gone, you know, throughout most of the known world. I've preached. I've been everywhere. Is that what Paul's saying here? No. I don't desire anything for myself, but I desire that those that were in support of him, those that prayed for him, those that sent to his need in his afflictions, in his time of trials, in his time of blessings, that any fruit that he was able to win for the master, that fruit counted for them. He continues also in verse 18, but I have all and I abound. I am full. Sunday, Dr. Mazak was talking about, you know, the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the fact that we should really be full of the Spirit. And I look at that, and it's not just that my cup is to the top, but my cup is continually filling, and it's overflowing. And as it overflows, I'm able to be a witness and pour my life into others. Well, that's the essence that we're going through, that Paul is seeing here. He is full to the point that he can't help but be a witness, that the Word of God kind of oozes out of him when he speaks to others. That is one of the desires that we each should have, is that we are filled with the Spirit to the point we can't help but share it with those around us, that we can't help but be bubbling over with that. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent of you. What was sent? We don't really know the exact thing. Whether they sent money or they sent food, they sent clothes, what they sent, we don't know, but a gift. But as we look at this gift, it was given sacrificially. A sacrifice, a sweet-smelling odor to God. You know, as we give at the offering, or as we give in our ministry, as we give as we work at the church, as we give as we witness, that is a sweet-smelling offering to God, a sacrifice that each of us can be part of. But my God shall supply all of your need. That I looked at growing up in a Christian home and such, I always had that kind of turned around in my mind. And I always thought that, well, that was pointing to myself, as God shall supply all of my need. But as I look at that verse, it strikes me. Paul wasn't desiring that. He was already full. He had already learned whatever state he was in therewith to be content. But as God blessed him, he's asking that through that sacrifice that was sent to him, that God would indeed give those sending that sacrifice the blessing. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Truly, as being sent out from this church, that is our prayer. That all that God allowed us to be part of in Zambia and the ministries there, the various things that we're able to be with there, that as God blessed us, that he would truly bless you. Be encouraged in that as you give, sure, sometimes it's sacrificial. Sometimes we give and kind of hurts sometimes. Money's tight. The economy's poor. But Lord, we're still going to give. It's our prayer, along with Paul, that God would truly bless you. We know that we are blessed by your ministry, by your prayers, by your encouragement, by all of the things that you have done for us as our home church, and we thank you so much. But we ask God that, as Paul says here, that he would truly supply your needs. But now unto God, who is to receive all of the glory for all of this? God. I know sometimes I feel a little bit intimidated. Coming back, we've been missionaries, and truly, we're somewhat a little bit intimidated by sometimes how people treat us, take us into their home, take us out to eat, give us this, you know, put money in our hand, and we're truly thankful for that and how God uses you to bless. But really, we ask that God would turn around that blessing and truly enrich you financially. Blessings in family, in ministry. We pray for this church as well. We thank God for this church. We ask God that he would truly encourage you. I hope at this time that this has been encouragement to you. That's our goal on deputation or on furlough as we come back. As come back to visit our churches, that we would be a blessing to them. You've been a blessing to us for the last 4 years. We've tried to share thanks and such in our prayer letters and such, but it's not anything that we can really say in a letter, but to be able to see you face to face and say thank you. May God continue to bless you. We know that you pray for us. It's evident in our lives. It's evident in the many things that have gone through in the ministries that we've been part of, both at the college, the radio station. We thank God for churches like Trinity that we know truly pray for us. Thank you.